Hi, I'm Jeff Kazerman, Vice President of Government Relations at the New Jersey Society of CPAs, and welcome to episode 19 of the Issues Watch podcast. We recently held a business and economic roundtable at the NJCPA annual convention featuring Senator Steve Arho, Assemblyman Roy Fryman, and NJTV business correspondent Rhonda Schaffler. The panel was moderated by NJCPA CEO Ralph Thomas. Ralph is my boss, the boss of bosses. I was a panelist also, but our communications team told me that it would be unseemly and egotistical for my comments to be included in this podcast, so you won't get to hear any of my brilliant insights. Of course, I'm not really sure that there were any, but be that as it may. Topics of discussion revolved around New Jersey businesses, individuals, and what needs to be done to keep them here and how we can promote more economic growth. In today's episode, we're going to highlight some of the conversations about getting businesses and individuals to come to New Jersey and stay here, and a few other issues. In our first clip, Senator Arho and Assemblyman Fryman spoke about what could be done to help small businesses. They voiced some frustration with the administration's perception that legislative proposals to help small businesses will cost the state revenues. They believe, on the contrary, that these measures would generate economic growth and increase revenues. As a point of information, the pass-through entity bill that Senator Arho refers to is legislation drafted by the NJCPA that would permit pass-through businesses to be taxed at the entity level instead of the personal level. This would provide business owners a way of getting around the federal SALT cap. The bill was passed by the Senate and the Assembly Appropriations Committee, but recent amendments that Treasury is requesting will turn the bill into a revenue raiser for New Jersey. With no amendments, the bill wouldn't cost the state any revenue. We and the sponsors of the bill are urging Treasury and the Governor's Office to change their amendments. So here's the Senator and Assemblyman.
I was very disappointed when, because the, you know, the pass-through entity bill, you know, went through, you know, wide support for it, and then, and quite frankly, there had been, to my knowledge, no discussion that the administration had said that there was any issues with it, and then all of a sudden to come up and make, you know, the suggested changes that essentially make it a revenue raiser as opposed to something that was going to help with their, you know, the issue of the SALT deduction, right? And that was, that, to me, that was extremely, you know, because as you said, I thought that was a complete no-brainer, huge bipartisan support. When we eliminated the estate tax, one of the reasons why we did that, we said, listen, it's not all the necessarily the rich people and stuff. It is. When you can pass on a business, and the reason, I'd love to eliminate the estate tax, any inheritance tax, and I actually have a bill to get the inheritance tax out, I just couldn't get them both out at one time, right? But the reason why we went after the estate tax is because you can transfer a business, you know, and not have to pay the estate tax to a son, a daughter, a spouse. With the estate tax, you couldn't. I mean, the only one there is it would transfer to a spouse or a domestic partner. Boom, that was it. So we're trying to bring down the cost because a lot of businesses would have to have the insurance costs with respect to hope to pay that estate tax. But the whole idea of having focusing more on the small businesses is something we certainly have to do, particularly in this, you know, the governor's innovation economy. So just
right.
I would agree with that. How you implement it maybe is something we got to take a look at. I want to make sure that no matter what kind of incentive program we have, my first thing is I'd love to have a tax structure that we didn't need an incentive program for. That was just. It was a good value structure that we have, and we don't. There's no way anybody could say that we have that kind of structure. But the idea to have something that helps the small businesses, whether it be capital gains, you know, reduction or tax, whether it be you can transfer a business, and not have, you know, to a family member and not have to pay any kind of, income tax or capital gains, something like that. We really do have to do.
I've been talking
and trying to push forward, and actually I think I may even sent you part of the survey, of what do we believe and how do we codify some of these definitions of a small business. So it, right now I asked OLS, the Office of Legislative Services, for an accounting of how many different bills have different definitions of small business. It was dozens and dozens of different definitions around this. So we don't even have a consensus of what it is. We know that the, you know, the, at a federal level, I think, what is it, several hundred, and it, it depends upon what industry you're in, and it varies.
Sometimes it's driven by revenue.
We need to think through that. I don't know if it makes sense anymore when we're trying to do carve-outs that it's strictly employee headcount-based. It made sense decades ago. More people you had, the bigger the business. But today you can have a very, you can have a thriving business if it's internet-based with a handful, but yet Main Street still needs that support. How do you educate lawmakers around small business? How do we educate the rest of our colleagues around, look what the unintended consequences are? You have the front office, you have the governor's office, that every time we put forth some of these incentives, they see it as a revenue decrease. They're not seeing it as potentially increasing revenue. So we do. So I take that as my fault and our fault, because we're not selling it. We're not presenting the numbers properly as saying, yes, we are offering a tax incentive, but here is the upside associated with that. And if we did more of that, then I think we'd be more successful of getting some of these programs and initiatives through. There are a laundry list of different items that are sitting there that aren't moving because we know they're dead on arrival from the governor's office, that everything from tax credits for your paid sick leave for the small businesses to being able to write off immediate rather than depreciating Section 129, aligning that with the federal IRS numbers. There's a whole host of it, but each time it's perceived as, oh, you're just reducing revenue. So no, I'm trying to increase activity associated with this.
Next, we asked our panelists about the upside and downside of doing business and living in New Jersey. Here's what they had to say.
We just at NJTV started this little digital series where we're going out talking to business owners around the state, small, big companies. It is so inspiring because, A, people want to have businesses here. People like New Jersey. They like living in New Jersey. They see a lot of benefits. People have family ties here. And it's been very inspirational just listening to these business owners who really want to do business here and are excited, except the cost side. So you have this enthusiasm. Then you have the day-to-day burdens that they feel are going up. So it's the same with residents. People don't want to leave New Jersey except for the financial. This is a great state, and people say that all the time. I mean, we have so much to do, amazing people, it's diverse. People don't say, I'm going to move to Pennsylvania because their parks are better or I like the neighborhoods more. They say that the taxes are lower. So I think people would prefer to stay here. I mean, I really don't hear many people saying, oh, I hate New Jersey, X, Y, Z. I mean, look, NJ Transit, traffic, whatever. You know, we know there are some issues. But it's really only the financial issues that are really weighing on people. And so that's unfortunate, and I hope that will be reversed.
We know New Jersey is not the low-cost state. We know that even with structural changes, it will never become the low-cost state. What people are wrestling with is the value proposition. We buy products all the time that are high-end products. Many of us sit and probably have an iPhone, and it's not the cheapest phone you can get out there because we felt that there was value associated with it. One of the things that seems to be resonating with the people I'm speaking with is how difficult it is to live and work in New Jersey. So it's this ease or lack of ease that really permeates. Financial is a significant part of it. It's really hard to make ends meet, but it's hard to get around. If you own a business, it's regulations. It's that a simple thing that I want to do. I want to put a sign up. I want to do something. I want to expand. It becomes a nightmare. I think that there is a lot, aside from doing structural changes, which is long-term, we have to work on a number and quite a few of the smaller things that would ease life, would make it just simpler on how to do the day-to-day.
We have a great state. You know, we got the shore, we got the mountains, we got Atlantic City, we really do have everything. So our assets were really good. The one thing New Jersey is very good at is creating wealth, and the other thing that we're really good at is exporting it to everybody else, all right? So one of the things that we did through a major restructuring, and I look at this, the CPA surveys that you had sent out all the time, which I think are excellent. I remember the one about the estate tax. What kind of advice do you give your client? And I'm almost like 75% was leave. I think a third was leave, telling them to leave, and another third basically was, if they don't eliminate it, I'm going to tell them to leave. So we actually used that as part of the major restructuring to get it out. The other to eliminate the estate tax. And interestingly enough, we did it over an 18-month period. We got rid of it. So now it's gone. The other thing that we did is to raise the pension exclusion for retirement income. Now, I hate the cliff that's there, the $100,000, which is bad. And we quite frankly, we tried to address that. I still want to address that. But those are the changes that were made. So then in the when we were making those changes, I think we started to get some of the reception that, hey, maybe New Jersey is starting to get its act together and tax restructuring, whatnot. And then the Murphy administration came in and started talking about millionaires tax and corporate tax increases and stuff. And I think we lost some of that momentum.
In this next clip, Rhonda addresses the exodus of young people from New Jersey.
It's interesting. I mean, in the past year, we've done a lot of stories on all these developments popping up around transit hubs. That's a big thing. And it's designed to try to keep young people in an area. It's always live, work, play. So you just go on the train, you go to your apartment. There's something to do nearby. I think that's smart. I think that's a smart way to try to bring a little bit of excitement, if you will, or make New Jersey more desirable. You don't need a car. You can save money that way. But look, for young people, I mean, if the adults who aren't even retired can't afford to stay in New Jersey, it's just tough. I mean, I'm not from New Jersey originally. When I moved here, so I came from kind of a depressed area at the time, and I moved to New Jersey, it was the land of opportunity. I could work in New Jersey, New York, Philadelphia. I was able to manage a rent payment on a very low salary. Where I'm from, which is Pittsburgh, is where everyone's moving to. Why? Because rents are cheap. Now there was Google and other companies that have kind of found it. The city had incentives, got these companies there. So I know we can do that in New Jersey since I was excited to come to New Jersey originally. I think some of the efforts on the innovation economy are very interesting. I think that's exciting. It's an exciting industry for younger people. We're going to keep going around the cost side. If you want an apartment by yourself in certain communities, it's not going to happen. You're going to be rooming with three people, which is why it's cheaper in some cases to move to Midtown Manhattan than living in Jersey City. And not all young kids are leaving. I know the surveys have said that, but I just think, and some of them might see what their parents are going through. They're in a house where the parents are saying, oh, the minute you're done, we have to get out of here. And same with colleges. Our colleges, they could offer more competitive opportunities. I mean, I'm sure many of you here either have kids who went to college or have friends and their kids went. If a school offers a better deal out of state, you're likely going to take it.
On the topic of the cost of college, the student loan debt crisis is something that we're addressing. Believe it or not, student loan defaults have doubled in the last 10 years, and 80% of our members who were recently polled agree that student loan debt represents a financial crisis. So we've put together a task force to come up with legislative proposals to reduce the debt burden and to come up with ideas for educating young whippersnappers on student loan debt. I always wanted to say that word, whippersnapper. One good idea we've heard about is employers who offer to pay off some student loan debt as an employee benefit. Here's Rhonda's take on that.
We've seen some companies do that kind of broadly on a national scale, not enough. But I think a young person would, you know, if you offer somebody a job and say you're going to handle X amount of student debt, it's very attractive. And for the companies in the state that say it's hard to find workers, because we are hearing that, and we know the unemployment is low, I think they have to think creatively.
And now, here are our panelists' closing thoughts on the state's economic future and what state government should do.
I wish we didn't rely so much on income tax in our budget, and I wish we were right now thinking about the next recession. Not to be a Debbie Downer, but the economic cycle has been long nationally. So I hope the state does take steps, fiscal steps, to ensure its stability and growth, and everyone plays nice in Trenton, like our gentleman here. And the other thing I hope is that New Jersey residents go to the polls and vote, because as somebody who covers the state, like we do at NJTV, it's very disheartening how few people care enough about what's going on in the state to actually go to the polls and cast a ballot. And it makes the job of the governor and legislature much harder.
I'm an optimist and believe that we created all these problems, therefore we can fix them. I think that we need to have a mindset change in Trenton that it starts slowly, starts with people like Steve and others that look at the role of government should be to be a partner in enabling growth, in enabling success, rather than just a regulator. There is a regulation aspect, but we need to change the way in which people see business. You will never get an affordable New Jersey unless you have a thriving economy.
Right.
So we're never going to get. So I think that if we can get people to view it from a different lens, which can absolutely be done, then you're going to start seeing the change. Then the behavior change will come. Where everything is not just, oh, they're making a lot of money, therefore they have deep pockets. No, I think it starts there. So I am optimistic. Yes, you have the personalities. Yes, you have the nonsense. I just hope it will get better if we look at things holistically rather than personal fights going on.
And this is what Ralph Thomas, the boss of bosses I referred to earlier, what he had to say on behalf of the NJCPA.
Let me throw my wish list out. My hope is that the legislature will avail themselves of the opportunity to hear the business community, to hear taxpayers and hear their concerns, so that they would, back to your point, become educated of the challenges and the things that they face. My other hope is that our members here will continue to fill out and participate in our surveys.
Very important.
Which are, I think,
very
been
credit.
very helpful to the folks on the path to progress and also the legislature as well. So do take that opportunity. They're very short and they're to give feedback, because your feedback matters. Your voice needs to be heard out here in New Jersey, because it does really work when we do weigh in.
Well, those were some great recommendations by our panelists. And I think we can all agree with them. If you'd like to see the full roundtable session, you can watch the video at njcpa.org/issueswatch. That's it for today's episode. I hope you found it interesting and informative. If you like the Issues Watch podcast, you can subscribe for free on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, or wherever you get your podcasts. We'll be back with a new episode in 2 weeks. Thanks for listening.